a middle section of the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus is urging us to look into our hearts to see what we are really thinking when we do things like giving to charity, fasting, or praying. Matthew 6, verses 5 to 15. "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive others when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." Amen.
God loves to spend time with you. Prayer is a chance for us as God's children to spend time with our Heavenly Father, because he wants to spend time with you. Look at the person next to you quickly. Let's have a look at them. You know, God loves them. God wants to spend time with them. He wants to spend time with you, even if you think, "Oh, I've messed up this week. God doesn't want to talk to me." You know, when my children mess up, they run and hide away from me, and they pretend that they haven't done what they've done. And God says, "You know what? As forgiveness, and I want to spend time with you." And this leads on here to the next point, that when we pray to God, he is our Heavenly Father, but we still need to remember that he is our Creator, that he is this supreme one who's in charge of the universe. And I love it when it says this in Ecclesiastes 5 verse 2, it says, "Do not be quick with your mouth. Do not be hasty in your heart to utter anything before God. God is in heaven, you are on earth, so let your words be few." I might say that in the next prayer meeting in church, actually. Let your words be few. It'd be good, it'd be quick, you're done. But sometimes this is important to remember, because although I love, I'm a Pentecostal, and as Pentecostals, we can be a little bit irreverent sometimes, and I apologize if I'm reverent today, and we sometimes forget who God is. But in the midst of our prayer, in the midst of everything that we're doing, in the midst of talking to God, we need to keep it in our hearts. We need to remember that God is God and we are humans. He is more powerful than us. And although we are his friend, he is still Creator. He is still the boss. And sometimes I get a bit frustrated. You guys look really holy, so I'm sure this doesn't apply to you. But I get really, really frustrated when Christians go, and I've done it, I get frustrated with myself when I do this, and I go, "God, you should have done it that way. What do you know, God?" Sometimes we can pray like that, can't we? Why didn't you do things this way? Why didn't you do things that way? But the truth of the matter is, when we remember who God is, when we respect him, we don't talk to him like that. We remember who he is. He is the Creator of the universe. He is the Holy One who is chosen for us to have that relationship with him. If I'm hitting the wrong, there we go. I thought PowerPoint's going the wrong way there. Because as I said earlier, prayer is a privilege. You know what, when we're praying as well, we've got to remember who God is, but in the midst of remembering who God is, we always need to remember that this prayer is a relationship with God. You know, I was talking to Fai, sometimes, you know, when life gets, I've always talked about life getting busy, and I've learned this, that however busy life is, I've always got time for the ones that I love. Isn't that true? You should try and make time. And I was speaking with someone the other day, and as a family member, and they were saying to me, well, I've done this. And they were trying to justify why they hadn't seen someone in the family. And just these words came to me. And I just said to them, I said, so-and-so, do you know how you show that you're important to somebody? You give them time. Isn't that true? You show your importance to someone by giving them time. The way you develop a relationship with somebody is by giving them time. And so often in our lives, and some of you may say you have all the time in the world, but so often, especially in our world today, we get so busy that God gets fitted into a really small space. And we don't have any chance to build up a relationship with him. And prayer is a chance for us to build up a relationship with our Creator. It's a chance, it's our privilege, and I keep mentioning that privilege because I think it's so important today. It's a privilege for us to build up a relationship with our Creator. Imagine, and some of you wouldn't want to imagine this, but imagine Boris Johnson gave you a phone call tomorrow and said, come round and have a cup of tea with me. Some of you going, blinking heck, I think it's hell on earth about to happen. But for some of you who love him, it's fine. But imagine that, just the King of England, not King of England, he thinks he's the King of England, but the Prime Minister of England would love to spend time. Some of us would love that, just a chance to spend time. And I'm telling you what, if the Prime Minister often would give you a phone call, a lot of you would change your schedules to go and have a coffee with him. The Creator of the universe says, you know what, I'm giving you time to build up a relationship with me. Are you prepared to give up time to build that relationship with me too? And that is so important. Prayer is about building a relationship up with God. And this links to the next bit here, just quickly and flick in. But building up a relationship with God, the thing that I find helps is to set aside time every single day. You know, I've if I'm honest with you, I've struggled the last 6 weeks in my house because my wife's a teacher and my two girls have been home and my office is at home and I work from home. So every time I'm about to sit down, I get a, Dad, Dad, what's the problem? Can you change my dolly's dress for me? I can't quite put it on. Or this happens, or that happens, or my wife goes, oh, Jim, do you mind coming and doing this for a minute? And all of a sudden, it's just like, oh my goodness, I get out of schedule. And I realize this, that in my life, I have a good set pattern. I don't try and limit God, but I have time I set aside every single day for God. And it's really important to do that because unless I choose to set time aside for God, unless I choose to put it aside, during these holidays, I've spent time with God every day, but it hasn't been as good as it normally is. Simply because life just gets a bit busy and I get caught up with lots of different things. But it's so important for us just to set time aside every single day to spend with God, to pray. Why? Because prayer is a... Thank you, you remembered that, it's good. And all these things happen when we remember that prayer is a privilege. When we remember prayer is a privilege, we put God number one and we come with him with honor. When we remember prayer is a privilege, we want to spend time with him. We want to spend time building up a relationship with God the Father. I'm coming in to finish now so you can breathe nicely. Keep hitting the wrong button here. There we go. Let's go. The last thing is this. The reason I think is most important reason to pray, as well as building up a relationship with God, is this, is that prayer changes us. Has anyone else ever noticed when you pray, often it changes you more than it changes God. Was that just me? You know, I shared this story a lot. I prayed when I was working at Silverdale Elam Church. Someone had this great idea. They said, you should pray the virtues of love in 1 Corinthians 13 over your life. So I'm there going, God, please, could you help me? Love is patient, love is kind. So I said in the first day, God, please, could you make me kinder and could you make me more patient? All I can say is that day the roadwork started in Silverdale. And I've never had patience put as much as my life. And when people were cutting me up, I had to show kindness in greater ways than I've ever had before. I stopped praying that prayer very quickly. It's like, God, no, don't worry about it. I'm happy to live with how I am. No. But God, it's amazing. When I prayed this prayer, God gave me the chance. You know, when my mother was ill for years and my mother-in-law was ill for years, we prayed for them. They both died. But in the midst of the praying for them, we got closer and closer to God. And when they both died, although we were sad, we didn't have that pain of, God, why didn't you answer the prayer? Because while we were praying, God changed us so much in the meantime. And prayer changes us. And that is so important to remember. And I've said this before, the more time you spend with God, the more you become like him. And I use the illustration I like to use for this is a few years ago, it's about 15 years ago, I met my wife. It's longer than that, actually, 17 years ago. And I was from a meat farmer background, South African meat farmers. My wife was a vegetarian. My brother, exact comment to her when he first met her is, what do you eat? Okay, what do you eat? And I remember, just before I met my wife, my mum decided to give me a vegetarian meal. And as this vegetarian meal got put on the plate, I was about 16 years old. You know, 16-year-olds, we own the world, okay? We know everything. And I went, Mum, how dare you? She was like, what? What's going on? I said, Mum, you've not cooked me a proper dinner. She goes, what? I said, what have you just given me? She goes, it's macaroni cheese. I said, where's the meat? She goes, what do you mean, where's the meat? We're having a vegetarian meal tonight. Oh, my goodness, I hit the roof. I started shouting at my mum as a true teenager. I slammed the door. I walked out. I was annoyed because I was a bit embarrassed, actually, by how I behave now. I thought, I want meat. 15 years later, I've been married to a vegetarian, okay, for 12 years now. I'm not a vegetarian. I like meat too much. But the other day, I went for 3 barbecues in a row. And do you know what I said to my wife? I need a few days off meat now because I can't eat meat every single day. It's really bad for me. Why? Because the more time I spent with her, the more I liked vegetarian food, the more I became like her. The more time you spend in prayer, the more you become like Jesus. The more time you spend with God, the more you become like him. I'm just going to pray in a moment. It'd be appropriate to speak in prayer. But guys, can I encourage you today? If you've come into church today and your prayer life's been a little bit stagnant, maybe you've just been rushing around. Maybe you're disappointed because God hasn't answered those prayers that you've been begging him to answer for the last few years. I want you to remember this. God is still listening to you. God wants to spend time with you. Don't miss the privilege of prayer. Don't take it for granted. It's something that's amazing. If you've been praying for a family member, remember Reese's story, his mum prayed for him for 10 years before his prayers were answered. God answers some prayers quickly, he answers some prayers slowly. Why? We don't know. But it's not for us to question. It's for us just to keep following God's word, to keep plodding on, to keep praying. As I come in just to land now, I was with someone early this year and their life was completely messed up. They had 6 months. Their life got completely turned upside down, had to move countries, lost absolutely everything. They ended up at our church, not knowing Jesus. Eventually, they became a Christian, and I was sitting with them, and they were crying. And he says, Jim, I'm praying every day, but God doesn't seem to answer my prayers. I said, you know what? You know what we're going to do? I said, I'm going to keep praying with you, and I'm going to hold your hand, and we're going to keep plodding on through the darkness. 6 months later, his life was completely turned around. God didn't answer the prayers as quickly as he wanted. 6 months was nice for this guy. But we just plodded on and we prayed through the tears and the hardship. You know what? God has given us that privilege of coming to him and praying, even when things aren't going very well. Sometimes we just need to plod. And I don't often do this in churches, but I just feel that may be a word for some of you, one person here today, that maybe you're finding your prayer life really hard today. But God just wants to say to you, keep plodding. Keep plodding. Keep plodding on in the darkness. And we're going to stand in a minute and we're going to sing our last song, which is What a Friend We Have in Jesus. And this talks about the fact we can bring all of our burdens to Jesus. And the guy who wrote this, I think he lost 2 fiancés, died. And he wrote, What a Friend I Have in Jesus. And one of the words, I can't remember the exact word. Can you put the words on? Is that all right? Put the word on for the next hymn. What, and it's a quick reader. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Then it says this. Love the privilege. Prayer is a privilege. But it says that, oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Prayer is a... Guys, don't take it for granted. You know, preparing this message, I've been challenged to up my prayer life, to put God in the place he deserves, because prayer is a privilege. Let's stand together as we sing this hymn.